It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Flash, it's 2 weeks later.
It is 2 weeks later.
Yeah. So at this point, we're not recording because of me. Because I'm doing something super cool. As we speak, I mean, not really, but 2 weeks from now, as we speak, I am watching Michelle Wolf live in a comedy club. And then the night after that, I'm watching Hannah Gadsby live in a comedy club.
That's the 13th and 14th.
Yes. And then the night after that, I'm hanging out with my brother, which is also cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
I gotta be honest, I'm more excited about the other two. Yeah, so that's gonna be fun. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast that was inside of you the whole time. You just had to find it. You had to learn to accept the podcast inside of you. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. Don't this fuck is episode this 431.
Don't choke.
31.
Well done. I had complete faith in you. Whole time. By the way, I don't know why we didn't talk about this 2 weeks ago. Tim Conway died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to a lot, I mean, this is a thing, and this is a thing I'm reminded of constantly. As you grow older, everybody freaking dies. Your loved ones, celebrities, things like that, like, because they are also growing older at the same time, and it's a very weird feeling. Because it just seems like all this stuff is more common now. But frequently, a celebrity dies, and if I don't care, I don't care. If I do care, I'm often surprised by how I care more than I thought I would.
Yeah, that happens to me sometimes.
This one's the opposite. I feel like I should care more about Tim Conway dying than I do.
Meanwhile, hearing that Peter Mayhew passed away affected me actually more than I expected it would.
Also, this feels incredibly inappropriate to bring up now, but I don't mean it that way because for me it's a thing. Grumpy Cat died.
Yeah, I actually thought of you when I heard that.
But you didn't tell me, did you?
Well, I didn't tell you.
Pray, why did you not tell me this? Knowing that knowing that Grumpy Cat was a big thing to me.
Right.
Why did you not tell me of Grumpy Cat's passing?
Because I'm kind of in a weird place relative to you in regard to these things right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because, how so?
Huh?
How so?
Well, because I don't... in the last... Actually, it's probably been in the last 2 years, but it feels like it's only been the last several months. I don't feel like I'm a very good judge of how things will impact you or how things do impact you.
Okay.
So I think I came to the conclusion that A, you usually find out things before I do anyway, so that you probably already knew. So that's point number one. So then it was like, okay, but if he doesn't know and I just express some kind of sentiment about it, maybe that won't be good. Or maybe if you do know and it's really bothering you, also that might be a bad thing to like pop you an email while you're at work trying to focus on other things. So I was at a loss as to, I didn't want to cause you any harm or discomfort. And I figured, also I figured that you would bring it up during the podcast and then we could just address it then.
Mm. This makes sense to me as reasons. And I appreciate those reasons. I'm more focused on A, on the first reason. Because here's the thing. You didn't bring this up to me. You didn't tell me.
No.
Over the course of, like, 36 hours, approximately 20 people did.
Brought it to your attention?
Including people who barely knew me. And I don't in any way want to defame their intentions. But I'm offended on a couple of levels. And they're largely the levels you talked about. Because first of all, I'm like, a day after the fact, and you're a coworker of mine, and I say coworker in the loosest sense, we work in the same building, and you only know about my love of Grumpy Cat because everything in my cubicle has Grumpy Cat on it, and one time a shirt I wore. And somehow you figured that 2 days after Grumpy Cat died, I didn't hear, and that I need to know.
That you need to know.
That, I'm like, clearly I already know this. And so at this point, you're just bringing it up again. Or I am so disconnected from it that I don't really care. Like, again, I know their heart was in the, it's mostly a just think about it for 2 seconds kind of thing.
Sure.
Because just everybody, and on a certain level, I'm like, I'm offended as a pop culture knowledge person that you would think the cat I'm clearly obsessed with dies suddenly and I don't know, and you and I'm going to be like, what, really? Especially days after the fact. And two, what are we doing here? Are we commiserating? Because you didn't care about Grumpy Cat. You just knew I did, so you're like, yeah, shame, huh? Like, It was weird. It was very weird.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, it's kind of nice that someone was concerned about your emotions.
Again, heart's in the right place. This This is not about a people are horrible. This is a rant about people are dumb.
Well, now see.
And it did bother me, and I did talk with people about it, and people did. I originally heard about it because someone told me. I then went through my daily websites. And like 4 different articles on it came up. So, I mean, I would have found out soon afterward. And I did talk with some people, and I especially because people were like, yeah, she was only 7. And I was like, what? Really? And I was, because they are sort of, her parents, her owners, are sort of famously good caretakers of her. There have been a lot of other like internet famous cats and dogs that it has come out later, like their owners really didn't take very good care of them, and it was just a cash. And like they sort of famously do. And so I was like, how is this possible? And it turned out it was complications after a urinary tract infection and surgery related to that.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, then I was like, oh my, 7. So I was really sad about that. But
sure.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, it's an internet cat. It's not like I knew her, it's not like she was a human. But on a certain level, it just, the breadth of people who I barely know coming to me to talk, I'm still like, it's a death. It's just weird to be like, oh, you really liked them, didn't you? And they're dead now. Sucks. Like, what are we doing here? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
It's weird. The ones that asked me if I had heard, I found weirder. Some of them were just trying to, like, commiserate, but. There were quite a few. It's like, did you hear?
It's a weird thing, though, because, I mean, I've been caught in this situation, and it's terrible. You know, our mutual friend from Belgium who became a U.S. citizen, I went with him and his family to lunch afterwards.
Yeah.
Because the ceremony was in the morning. And our friend from where we used to work, Mark Zolo, came up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And apparently they didn't know he'd passed. And I just started talking about it as if they knew. And I think it was very hard when that topic was broached.
Yes.
Without
it. But it was going to be hard anyway. I mean, those things happen.
Right.
But and also, it's not, he's not, Zolo wasn't famous.
No, no, I know that. But I'm, but our Belgian friend was kind of close to him, actually. Not close enough to have found,
clearly,
heard,
yeah,
that he died. But the point is, I think sometimes people will ask if you've heard, because it's like, well, what if he hasn't heard?
Yeah.
And I'm bringing it up. That's weird, you know? So, I mean, I presumed you had heard. And
good presumption.
And I also had presumed that, I mean, if you were upset about it, there wasn't anything I was going to be able to say to make you feel better. And that I thought when we podcasted, we talk about it, but then the podcast schedule got weird.
So. And it would have been less weird coming from you because you are a good friend of mine.
Well, right, exactly.
A lot of these were from people that I barely knew.
Right.
And it happened, like, one time many years ago now, I'm out at dinner with Trish at a restaurant, and I see one of my old bosses from the Grinnell Herald Register. Because remember, it was a family business, so I technically had four bosses.
Mm-hmm.
The owner, his wife, and his two kids who were basically running things.
Sure.
And so at any given point, and this is one of the kids, and I'm talking to her, and we're catching up a little bit, and I'm like, how's Larry, which is her brother, who's the guy who was really my boss, and the guy I worked with most, and who was 20, 25 years older. He was 40-something when I left.
Sure.
And she said, oh, you didn't hear? He died. And it was, he's at work, he has an aneurysm, and he's incredibly overweight and smokes regularly, so
I think you must have told me about
help
this.
Would have needed to arrive in approximately 2 seconds,
yeah,
and that didn't happen, and he's just dead. And I mean, and that was a huge blow, but like, in no way do I feel weird about her telling me.
Sure, sure, sure.
And she also kind of assumed I knew.
Yeah, right.
She wasn't going to do the, like, this comes up, this is, and this is weird, and this is a little more than work I like to talk about, but there is someone at work who I know, in that we work pretty near each other, and I know their name, and we talk. We have interacted on a professional basis occasionally. We have chatted more often than that. They're an acquaintance. I've had conversations with them that were purely social. They were gone for a bit and were not close enough that I really noticed that specifically. They came back and they are clearly bald now and quite skinny. Mm. And when they first came back were sort of slow moving or whatever. And they seem to be doing better now, but they are still clearly like that.
Mm-hmm.
No one has told me anything, and I have not said anything.
Mm.
And I will admit that feels weird.
Yeah.
And I have this image in my head that not everybody can do this, and very few people should do this, but it's kind of me, and it's kind of the way people there know me, so it might work, that I could just go up and say, so, I haven't said anything because I wasn't privy anything, and there's not... It's really awkward to just pretend it's not there, but it's also awkward to talk about it. So I'm just going to call it out right now and say, clearly you've been going through some stuff here. What happened? And I feel like that could work, but I haven't had the guts to do that. And like, this is so much. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing reminds me of that a little bit. But part of me is also like, and I haven't said anything. But y'all with the grumpy cat. But I mean, I get the answer is the stakes are lower. Because it's not like I'm going to be like, how dare you bring up my favorite tartar sauce?
Well, I mean.
That was her real name.
You know.
Also, I like Pokey better, and Pokey's still alive.
Oh.
Her brother.
Yeah, I. It seems like. In the last couple of years, I don't know if people are more sensitive or if I'm more sensitive to whatever level of sensitivity they already had. I can't tell the difference, but it feels like I need to be more careful than I used to be about when I say things and what I say, because I mean, as you know, as anyone who listens regularly probably knows, I'm constantly putting my foot in my mouth because I just don't understand how I'm supposed to act, I guess. And, you know, in most of the time in my life, it just meant that a person who met me, you know, a day or two ago would stop talking to me, and I wouldn't even notice that they stopped talking to me because I didn't know them very well. But now I feel like if I make some kind of social mistake, the person I'm talking to is going to respond with a lot more, you know, pain than previously. I don't know why I think that.
But,
I think I'm just getting too many messages from the media about people being sensitive about things that it doesn't seem like they used to be quite that sensitive about.
But also keep in mind, you can cause more pain by trying not to cause pain. I mean,
exactly. That's right. And I get into that analysis paralysis, as they call it, and that's really hard.
On the way home tonight, Trish and I are talking about abortion. It came up because she recently was talking with somebody about it, and so she mentioned that. Because it was one of those, she kind of didn't feel like talking about it, but somebody like pushed her into it, and she was talking about how weird that was. But then that got us on the topic talking about it. And this is not a controversial thing for us. We are fairly agreed in our position on the subject.
Right.
We are vehemently pro-choice.
Sure.
In sort of every sense. But we got into a discussion about what ifs, because, you know, there's a lot of really stupid shit happening right now. And I'm expressing things, because part of what has come up is she's like we're not in a situation where we're going to have kids.
Right.
And also our age means that if we were in that situation, even then it would be very unlikely.
Sure.
But Trish is like, that aside, she's like, I'm a white American woman of a decent enough level of affluence that I can get an abortion.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Even if my state doesn't like I have, I'm not in that situation. And I start going into talking about, like, you know, and at this point, unless somehow they managed an actual federal thing, you know, there are some states that will certainly, even though all these states are suddenly trying to make it illegal, there are some that aren't. And I don't know, something about what I was talking about, like, that even outside of that, there's even more reasons why that would not be an issue. And it is a weird topic, because I do feel very strongly about these abortion issues. I'm also keenly aware that none of this impacts my life in any way.
Mm.
And that feels very weird, because I still feel strongly about it, but, like, sometimes I feel like I'm not feeling strong enough about it.
Mm.
And it's like, cause it's not, I mean, not intentionally, but like, it doesn't grip me as well because it doesn't affect me. And that's my problem. That's not okay or whatever, but it's something that, I see a lot, and she starts getting, it's not something, but I can tell she starts getting bothered. In a way that she's sort of not responding and not making eye contact and stuff. And it was very weird. And eventually I start doing the thing that, frankly, little children do, where they're like, I'm clearly in trouble now and I'm not really sure why, so I'm going to try and be really cute and goofy. and most importantly, I'm going to talk more, because I'm going to get myself out of whatever this is.
Right.
And this is, as happens again with children a lot, this makes things worse. And she had to go run some errands, so she just dropped me off, and the whole thing was very odd. And later I was sort of parsing it through, and I'm like, it's weird, because we weren't arguing. We weren't disagreeing on anything.
Right.
But something, and later she texted, she's like, I'm sorry, I was weird, I'm not even sure why. And I'm like, yeah, I've been thinking about it. And I mean, like, this is a very charged issue right now, and I was maybe being a little glib in how I was saying things.
Mm.
And I was also being glib in how I was speaking, and that, like, I was trailing off sentences that I was. And so she was feeling weird about what I was saying. And I was like, and then I started doing. So I'm like, I kind of get it. And like, I'm thank you for the apology. But like, it was, but I mean, this thing. And she and I are the least likely people to have these kind of problems. And we still have these problems.
Yeah.
And as usual, it's just about communication. If you're concerned, I mean, the Grumpy Cat thing is a good teaching tool because it doesn't really matter. And for all that I complain, it's because I'm on a podcast and I'm famous. It's not because it mattered that much. It was just like, you know what grinds my gears? When 20 people tell me Grumpy Cat guy died. But whatever.
Grinds my gears.
Nice. And so just not telling me was fine.
Yeah.
But if it was something more serious and like we were hanging out or whatever and there was a thing where it's like, this is the topic or whatever. I think the method I often would use or whatever and would be like, this is weird and I don't want to like upset you or whatever, but this.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially if you're not like, if somebody else brings it up and you're like, I don't know.
Well, part of it.
How they react.
Part of it was also email. It's like, I'd much rather bring it up in person.
But this is a common thing I do with a lot of people in my life when they send me something like, you know, oh, this happened that, like, sounds bad, but I'm not. Or, in fact, just recently somebody's parent died, but it was, like, a long protracted thing, and now they were dead. Mm-hmm. And so my very common one is when people mention something like that, my first thing is just to be like, so how do you feel?
Right.
And then can go from that. Because that's another great mistake I make with Trish sometimes is she'll send me something. Again, this is always an I am when it happens, but she's like really outraged about something. And I'm like, yeah, because XYZ. And she's like, what? No, not XYZ. I think that's fine. And I'm like, we're at the point now where finally I'm just like, okay, tell me what the part is and how you're feeling about it. Right, and then I can, because I'm clearly not getting whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, tell me, especially because it's like, from the context, I know you just want me to support you in this, and I'll do that. I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we happy about this? Are we angry about this? Is it because of this?
Yep.
Which, on a certain level, feels like a cheat, because it's like, clearly I don't actually have a stake in this, but I'm going to pretend to care in the same way you do to make you feel better. And that feels weird, but in reality, that's literally what they're asking for.
there are things that you're going to care about just because they do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not because you care about it. I mean, that in relation to my wife happens all the time. Like, there's TV shows we watch I would never watch by myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I enjoy watching it because I know she's enjoying it. And so there's a lot of things that she's concerned about that I'm only concerned about because she is. And sometimes I feel like a jerk about that because I think I should be concerned about it. But other times there's no reason for me to be concerned about it outside the fact that she is.
But it feels weird to nudge that into outline.
I suppose.
I feel weird when someone's like, oh my God, can you believe blah, blah, blah in this TV show that we're watching? And you're like, I mean, I guess. I don't really care. Like, that would be weird. Or to say like, no, but you clearly do, so yeah, what? Like, that would be a weird way to phrase it.
I suppose.
But
I don't even think about it like that. It's just a natural sort of organic, you know, we're there together experiencing this thing together. But I can't deny the fact that I'm experiencing it more through their lens than my own.
No, absolutely. And we definitely, and I think Trish and I both have a thing, and that's, we're discussing the thing. And so we're watching a thing, and she's like, why do you think that character's doing that? And I'll talk about it. And I know, like, she's more into it than I am. But it doesn't mean I can't talk about it and have my theories or even my, I hope they do this and not this. I mean, the parenthetical is there. But either way, I don't care that much. But I still hope they do this and not this.
Oh, as I've said before, I often have to ask, you know, something will happen and I'll have to ask, why is this happening? What's going on? I don't understand. That you
yes.
have to explain.
And it's probably even worse in TV shows and movies for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a shot at you.
Why?
That was to imply that just in life, you're like, why is this happening?
I do that in life, too. But yes, it's worse than TV and movies.
You're like seeing a dog go by, and you're like, what was that? Why is this happening?
It's usually.
How did that footstool move by itself?
It's usually in relation to what people are doing or saying, and I can't even.
Why can't they speak English? Well, we bothered to let them into our country.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, it is. You're constantly. Oh my God.
No.
William is so anti-immigration. He gets really tight. You guys know. You've been listening for 8 years. You've heard his rhetoric.
Yeah, my rhetoric.
Yes. I'll talk about. Unless you have a special skill.
You said you were going to say how the show worked on this episode, and you haven't done it yet.
Nope.
Are you not going to?
I am.
Oh, okay. You know, something interesting came up. I was reading about American dialects, and someone pointed out that the dialect in our area where we're from, I was going to remember something about the area you're from and bring it up, but I forgot. So, sorry. But this something they brought up about Iowans, I think Iowans and Nebraskans, maybe people in Kansas too, is the word for the name Mary, for Mary like in Merry Christmas, and Mary like Will You Marry Me are all the same pronunciation. And I read that, and I thought to myself, wait, that's not always true. I mean, not that I think that everybody pronounces Mary the way I do, but that however they pronounce Mary, they pronounce it the
both
same
versions.
In all three of those versions, but it's not true. So when I really thought about it, I realized that I also don't always pronounce them the same. I usually do, but I don't always. Because even though Will You Marry Me sounds the same as Merry Christmas and the name Mary, I'll sometimes, if I'm talking about two people being married, see, I pronounce it a little bit different, or there's going to be a marriage. And if I'm using those words in whatever I'm saying, and I happen to say the word Mary, I'll say it different than Mary.
Still pretty subtle.
Yeah, but it's different though.
Yeah, but I always thought I pronounced them all the same too.
And sometimes I'll say the name Mary different. It's almost like Mary. Sometimes I'll pronounce it different too. I think I'm impersonating, like I think that's the way they say it in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, when they say her name. So sometimes I'll say it like that. So then I realize that, so there are different ways of saying the name Mary, and Will You Marry Me.
And that one sounded forced.
And it was, because I have to really think about it to say it that way. And then Merry Christmas. But most of the time, I do pronounce all those the same, and I wasn't even aware that was a thing. That other people would come here and hear me say those three different ways of saying Mary, and say, "Wow, those all sound the same." I say them all different, or wherever they're from, they say them all different.
Okay, we're gonna play the worst game ever. We're gonna take turns. I'll start. I am going to say that word by itself.
And I have to guess which one it is?
Yes, okay. And the way it is determined which one I'm saying by me, because I mean, I could just say it and it doesn't. I'm going to say a sentence in my head, and I will only say that word out loud.
Okay. So hopefully you'll be saying it the way you would say it.
That's the thing. In my head, I would assume.
Okay.
All right. You ready? Told you. Worst game ever.
I don't know if this is going to work.
Worst game ever.
Okay.
All right. Mary.
That sounds like a wedding, Mary.
What's funny is, to me, it sounds like the name Mary. What it was Merry Christmas.
What? Wow, no, it didn't sound like
right?
Mary.
It didn't even sound like that to me, but that's what I was saying.
It was somewhere between the name Mary and, like, marry me. But
this is terrible. Okay, now you go.
No, I say them all the same. I know I do.
Try it. Let me see.
This is hard. Okay.
It helps if there are words before and after.
Oh, okay.
I find.
That's good advice. Okay.
In my one time doing it.
Mary.
Wedding?
No.
What was it?
I was thinking Hail Mary, full of grace. So it was the name Mary.
Ah. This is the worst game ever.
But see, I think I do say, when I say the sentence "Hail Mary, full of grace," I think I say it different than if you said, "What's that gal's name?" and I would say Mary. I think I say it different. I think I Hail Mary, full of grace. that girl's name is Mary. I think I say them different. I think they sounded different, just slightly different.
There. We are the worst podcast.
Well, I don't, I mean.
This is the dumbest thing. I'm fascinated, but it's, this cannot be any good to listen to.
Well, it really just sort of, when I read it, because first of all, there are a lot of American dialects. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this article seemed to do a good job of covering them all. But then when they talked about the one that specifically in Iowa, Nebraska, and I think Kansas, I was really fascinated to see what they said about it.
Yeah.
And the only thing they said about it was they mentioned that this is very similar to what you hear newscasters or
yes.
whatever.
Yes, Midwestern accent, newscaster accent. Yeah. Yes.
But they also compared a different accent to that. And then they said, but for the people in these states, Mary, Mary, and Mary are all pronounced the same. And I was like, what? It's like, I have never heard of that before.
People on the West Coast quite adamantly believe they don't have an accent, that they are the accent-free version, which is not true.
There's no such thing as an
accent. No, exactly. But people on the West Coast are the ones who are like, I don't have an accent, like everybody.
Huh.
Long ago, I heard that Pacific Northwest, where I'm from, we tend to slur our vowels together more. I don't know that that's true. I heard that one time.
I think you and I speak in about the same way. I don't notice any difference between you and all the people I've ever grew up
with. Well, and I've now lived here for many, 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 many years. Well, so that's true. It's hard to say.
I mean, there are two types of people that I have experienced in Iowa. Three types of people I've run into in Iowa. There are the people who live in Iowa, but they sound a little bit like they're from Missouri. There are people who live in Iowa, but sound a little bit like they're from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes my wife, whose family is from Clear Lake, will sound like that.
And Minnesota sounds very close to Canada.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. But then there are the people that just sound like Tom Brokaw.
Yeah.
And that's the way I think I sound. That's the way a lot of people I know sound. That's the way you have. I mean, I've never, if you hadn't told me you were from Oregon, I wouldn't have guessed you were from anywhere else but Iowa.
This is funny. This recently came up for me because I've been learning. Did I talk about this? I'm learning Python coding?
Yes, you
some very basic that. Stuff. Yeah, the instructor in the videos has an accent thing that I have heard many times before, but I don't know where it's from.
Mm.
And what it was a tendency with ST, or maybe specifically with STR, to put a sh sound in there. And the reason this comes up a lot is the word string is very important in coding.
Sure.
You say it a lot, and he keeps saying string.
Oh. Huh. Interesting.
And I don't know where it's from.
I don't either.
And the only thing I can get, and I haven't said this one out loud when I've been trying to do it, because it's weird, and I admit it's weird, and it's just the only thing I can remember, and again, my deal or whatever. I feel like I've heard a lot of black people use this pronunciation.
Mm.
So then I'm like, is this a population density thing? Because, I mean, demographically, a lot more black people in urban centers. Is it that kind of thing? This guy, otherwise, his accent makes me think of some sort of Eastern Seaboard accent, but I'm not sure. I can't figure it out. And then the other day at work, a guy, a coworker who's relatively new, says something, and he says what I don't remember. I don't think it was string, but it was some word like that. And I was like, you have that, and I know where he's from because talk about it. He's from Louisiana.
Louisiana.
And actually this got us into a discussion that he's like, there are so many different accents that all originate right here. Like, obviously, because there's Cajun and stuff like that, but there's like four or five different accents that are all from southern Louisiana.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But yeah. But he wasn't sure either, but I was like, you definitely do it. I'm like, but this guy didn't sound like he was anywhere south or anything like that. So I still can't place it exactly.
It's feels like it's a German thing.
But it's a very noticeable thing. It's very much string.
I don't think I've ever heard.
And I mean, like in my before. Experience in talking with people, it's only when they're not paying attention. If you held up a flashcard with that word, like, what is this word? They'd say string. But it's when you're talking quickly or whatever, and you throw it in there.
Well, there, I mean, people talk about, you know, Iowans, some Iowans put an R in wash, so they say warsh and whatever.
Yes, my mother-in-law does warsh.
Yeah.
And on the Eastern Seaboard, you get some weird, you get turlet.
Yeah.
I find turlet very weird.
And pitcher instead of picture, and library instead of library. I hear those things sometimes. But I don't think that's...
Well, and there's some that I don't think of as accents. I just think as poor diction.
Maybe.
So library, I don't like. I work a lot with accessibility. I know some people who insist on saying accessibility all the time. And I'm like, there's a k in there. Mm. Accessibility. And then the weird ones, irregardless. supposedly.
Oh, here's one that you hear in Iowa quite a bit is someone might say something like I'm supposed to go to a party tonight, but I don't want to. Wanu?
Yeah.
Do you say wanu?
I think so. I'm supposed to go to a party tonight, but I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. That one fascinates me to no end.
In my head, it would be, but I don't want to. But I'm like, it's definitely not. I don't say that. I might write that, but I wouldn't say that.
It's used in a very specific context. It would be in any context where you could say, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
If it's just, I want something, or I want to something, you say wanna. Mm-hmm. But if there's an implied do in there, then you say wanna.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's an Iowa thing, but see, you say it, so it must not.
Yeah, no. Well, and then some of these get codified. When I used to listen to the training tapes for British accent, because I was constantly the retired British Army officer in every play in high school. There's a great one they'd have where if you're ending a word in A and starting the next word with a vowel, you put an R sound at the end of the first word.
Mm-hmm.
So they say Diana and I.
Yeah, yeah.
Or in fact, those are the two examples, Diana and I and the Arena of Life.
Well, there's some... there's some dialects in the eastern part of the United States that are like...
Well, I didn't ever realize until recently what a mid-Atlantic accent is.
I don't know if I know either.
I was familiar with the term.
Well, yeah, I think I've heard
And
that
I was
too,
familiar
I
with people who have it, but I thought essentially... Well, in my head, it was very similar to, like, a New England accent. So by Mid-Atlantic, I thought, like, sort of, you know, not quite the North, not quite the South.
Okay.
But it's much more tied, because the people I can think of off the top of my head, Katharine Hepburn, famously Mid-Atlantic accent.
Oh.
Charles Winchester from MASH.
Sure.
Who, as a kid, I just thought had a British accent.
Sure.
Yeah. I didn't realize. I only received, it's called Mid-Atlantic because it's essentially half British, half American.
Right, right.
And it's a thing that got adapted... I think it was a class thing. There was a certain point
sure.
where in America it was cool to sort of seem British.
Was that William F. Buckley's kind of thing?
I can't hear him at the moment, so I'm not sure, but quite possibly. It was a...
It sounds aristocratic.
Posh East Coast thing.
Yeah.
Basically. From a certain time period. Yeah, and it's called Mid-Atlantic, not meaning the Mid-Atlantic Coast. It means the middle of the Atlantic.
Huh. That's interesting.
I had never put that together.
I've heard of that a thousand times, but I didn't really know what it was.
Yeah, right? If you're just joining us, episode's nearing the end, so... here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. And folks, like you, perhaps... write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, it's Mid-Atlantic servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it, as you have seen.
Is that like Thurston Howell's accent?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, there are people I've met in the United States who I cannot understand what they're saying. And but they're speaking English.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just cannot understand what they're saying. Most
there
of
are people
South.
I've met in Iowa.
I think I can follow most people in Iowa, but
if they're rural enough, old enough, and missing enough teeth is mostly what it comes down
to. I think
to.
The first person...
But keep in mind, I spent a summer working in a Casey's.
I think the first person I ever met who I didn't understand, who but I nevertheless knew they were speaking English, was in Kentucky. This guy, I don't remember what his job was at the hospital I was at, but man, I just could not understand a word he said. Everybody else understood.
There's an extremely old bit from a very early episode of Family Guy where it's one of those cutaways that like has no bearing on any other thing in the show. And the main guy is at a Kentucky Fried Chicken in Kentucky. And he's talking to the person behind the counter. He says, could I speak to the colonel, please? And the guy behind the counter says, he did. And he says, I'd like to speak to the colonel. He's like, what's wrong with you? I already say you, he did. And it's all about the whole joke is how terrible their accents are and also how stupid the characters, but mostly how hard to understand the Canadian accent or the Kentuckian accent supposedly is. So
I don't think it's like that all over Kentucky.
No. In fact, I don't even know that it's like that at all. It's Family Guy, so it's probably bullshit.
I mean, in this place I was in, he was the only guy I didn't understand. I understood everybody else.
But the thing is, years ago with my boss, somebody came by to see if she was in her office or whatever. And she was, but I'm just screwing around. And I was like, she did.
I think you told me that.
Yeah. But none of them know the reference. And it's become this thing where I just elaborately try to convince them that she's dead. But I always say it that way. And, like, people will say it back to me. People are like, she not dead. And I'm like, what do they think they're doing? I'm quoting a really old, dumb Family Guy sketch. And they're copying me, but they don't have any idea. No, I'll do things now. Like, I can see her in there talking on the phone. And I'm like, no, that is gases escaping her corpse. It is really sad. Or if somebody else is in there, I'm like, no, she's talking to a dead person. I keep telling her that that's not, but she won't believe me. But yeah, that's how I say it. I say, she dead. What's wrong with you? I already say you, he dead.
In Louisiana, I mean, there's just about every type of American...
I believe you mean Louisiana.
Yeah, just about every kind of dialect you can think of is down there somewhere.
Yes, yes.
It's amazing.
And actually, in the original, the character you're referring to is actually... Louisiana is the doctor. You're thinking of Louisiana's creature, whose name was not actually Louisiana. See, I think that joke fits in literally anywhere, and I love that.
America is an amazing place.
So is Belgium. Whole country run by one dude named Belgium and a dog who doesn't even speak the same language as the dude.
Yeah, because he's a Flemish dog.
No, he's a Walloon dog.
Oh, he's the Walloon dog.
Yes. Gonna start a race war in Belgium with that kind of shit.
Yes, you're right. I gotta be very careful.
What are you trying to pull? So I'm still watching. I'm almost done with it, unfortunately. Upstart Crow, the Britcom with David Mitchell as Shakespeare.
Sure.
They really love playing with the social commentary, present social commentary, but in the past, and especially hitting on Shakespeare, and like. Things that he took credit for that he didn't come up with and stories he stole. And they had a whole one recently about Romeo and Juliet. And they're like, oh, no, it's a great play. Like, but, oh, it was because his daughter was going to go out. And they're like, you're kind of young. She's like, I'm 16. And he's like, and he's like, yeah, and remember. And she says, in Dad's play, Juliet was 13 and she fell in love and had sex and killed herself. And he's like, and they were like, yeah, that was weird to make her. And he's like, no. Because it was, you know, young and innocent or whatever. Says, yeah, but it was creepy. And somebody else is like, and you don't, for some reason, you very explicitly say she hasn't reached 14 summers, but you never explicitly mention Romeo's age. And the servant who doesn't is like, wait, you're telling me that it says in the play that Juliet is 13, but Romeo could be like a 55-year-old pervert. And she's like, no, he's young too. He's like, but he could be. And Shakespeare's wife is like, I always just assumed that future generations would cast older actresses and just leave that line out. And then he's like, well, this is the story I came up with. And I was like, but you didn't come up with that story, did you? It's like, what are you talking about? He's like, because there was a story, the tragical romance of Romeus and Juliet was written by some other guy 2 years before Shakespeare was born. And he's like, well, it's totally different. For one thing, my character's named Romeo. And I was, and he's like, no, you ripped it off. And then they say, well, there is one difference in the two stories. And I'm like, see, I came up with the original. He's like, yeah, and that one, Juliet's 16. And I think it's Shakespeare's mom at this point because they're all in the thing. He's like, so you stole the story completely, but the only thing you didn't take from the source material was to make her a child. And there's just tons of this shit. There was a whole thing with Shylock from Merchant of Venice, because the whole idea, at least in this Britcom, is that he's trying to make a sympathetic Jewish character, which hasn't happened yet. And they actually get an actor who's like the first ever Elizabethan actor who plays sympathetic, like with just his staring eyes and his sadness and stuff like this. But then hijinks ensue where he's convinced that Shakespeare didn't write his own stuff, and Shakespeare's so offended by this that he gives him a, so they have the usual guy do it. And so he has a big fake long nose and he eats Christian babies in it, and it's all hilarious. And so later he's like, yeah, it'll probably be a few centuries before people realize that it was supposed to be a sympathetic character.
And then probably be a few centuries.
And then later in the episode, he explains how he's definitely started it. Having finally written the first ever sympathetic Jew, he has clearly started what will be the end of racism. it's a good show. You can't watch it now, but if you could, I'd say you should watch it. And yeah, and the female lead is the daughter of the person who owns the inn that he stays in London, and she very much wants to be an actor, but it's illegal. Mm-hmm. And so the first season had a lot of her trying to do that. But then it keeps being with things like Midsummer Night's Dream. It's like, so you have this Puck who's putting this potion in everyone's eyes, and they fall in love with whoever is they next see. He's like, yes, isn't it funny? And she's just like, so are you saying intoxication equals consent? And he's like, whoa! Where'd you get that from? And there's a lot of things where they talk about how women can't be actors or whatever because they're clearly stupider than men, and she responds lamenting how stupid women are, usually in Latin or something, and they have to ask her what she said, and she explains it. There was a long thing about how women couldn't play women in the theater because women have breasts, which would not leave any room to put the fake coconut breasts in.
Yeah, you brought that one up.
That one came up a lot. It's a cute show. It's very much a lot of the things I liked about older Britcoms like Blackadder, and a lot not the things I didn't like much. So I'm enjoying that.
Right.
But oh, we didn't ever draw anything, did we? We should probably do that. Get on that.
Get on that.
What are you doing? Stop screwing around.
I'm just not committed enough, I guess.
Don't fuck this up.
I think that ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
Craig wants to know.
Craig has been popular this day / two separate weeks.
You get to create a new holiday in the summer to counterbalance Christmas. What is it? I've often thought about this, actually, because, you know, the summer solstice is the opposite of the winter solstice. It's like, why shouldn't there be like a Christmas-like holiday in the middle of the summer?
Anti-Christmas, wouldn't it be? I mean,
well,
just by definition.
No, but think about it this way.
Celebrate the birth of the Antichrist.
Think about it this
tomorrow,
way.
Tomorrow, by this point, almost 2 weeks ago, Good Omens comes out.
Oh, yeah.
On Amazon. We're going to watch it tomorrow.
That might be good.
We are excited.
Think about it this way.
It's totally going to be good.
Did you ever celebrate May Day with, like, May baskets and stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So think of May 1st is technically the opposite of November 1st. So May Day is technically the opposite of Halloween.
Yes.
So instead of taking a basket around and having people put candy in it, you put candy in a basket and leave it on their doorstep.
See?
Also, like, if outside you've got, during May Day, you've got blossoms on the trees, and outside during Halloween, you've got colored leaves on
the
trees.
And in the pagan one, 1st of May is all about a bonfire and a lot of fucking.
Okay, well.
And Samhain is about a bonfire and talking to your dead relatives.
Okay, whatever. I'm just saying, that's an example of how there kind of is an opposite in May, or there used to be.
Oh, yeah, no.
We celebrated it when I was a kid, to Halloween.
Yeah.
So, thinking about it maybe like that, what would the opposite of Christmas look like, and what would it be called?
It would be about the birth of everyone other than Jesus. Jesus's half birthday.
Jesus's half. Ah, come on! You could get a cake 2 times a year. You wouldn't have to do it just once. So yeah. Well, how would it be?
I think we should focus more on the activities involved.
Well, they should be outside.
What do you do at Christmas?
Okay. Like Christmas, the reason you have a tree inside and lights inside is because it's dark, but it's not dark, so everything should be outside.
Everything that was outside
should be outside.
Something
about it should.
You should plant a tree.
Plant a tree instead of cut one down.
Exactly.
Oh, I like that.
But first, you should take out anything decorative in it. Like, rip out any bird's nests you see.
Decorate it first. Take it to where you're going to plant it. Take the decorations off. There. And then plant it. Or something.
No. Plant it at Christmas.
Yeah.
You have to heat up the ground so you can plant a seed. And then when you finish with your Christmas tree, just dump all the decorations in a pile where you planted the seed. And by May 1st,
it'll have it all on there.
And then you tear that down. No, okay. We plant a tree. Buy a lot of shit for yourself. I mean.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good question. What would you do with gifts?
A raw turkey?
Okay, it's Midsummer, by the way. Is there something about Midsummer that you know of in sort of traditional observances that could be incorporated here? Is there something from, like, Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream that you could incorporate?
Oh, I have no idea. In the neo-pagan thing, what really is that? Because the betrothal, Groundhog Day is essentially the betrothal of the god and the goddess. And May is the wedding and the consummation, as it were.
Okay.
And then, what is Midsummer exactly? It's not a harvest festival yet. Things aren't beginning to die yet. It's the peak of things being alive. As opposed to Yule, which is where everything is dark and dead and literally God, the sun god is dead, and then that night he's given birth to, and he shows up the next day.
Right.
So it's the opposite of that, I guess, when he's, you know, playing high school football or whatever. Is that his peak?
Playing high school football.
You know, it's where he plays the game that he made 4 touchdowns in, and he's always going to be talking
about
forever.
Of his life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
You can ask the producer.
I have thought about this on lots of occasions because I thought we should do something in the middle of summer.
It should be very outside.
Yeah.
It should involve proper seasonal foods, which means it's going to probably be entirely vegan.
Well, a lot of people do have outdoor, like, family reunions around this time.
Yeah.
So that's that.
I mean, that's the real thing, is we should have a holiday that's basically all of humanity's family cookout.
That could be it right there. On on or around Midsummer.
Yeah.
But what would they, what would you call it?
The cookout.
The cookout.
I'm kind of stealing this. This is kind of a black cultural touchstone that I'm stealing from things I've read elsewhere. So this might be white man cultural appropriation, so maybe not.
Okay.
I'm really not into holidays anymore.
June is a month that's pretty popular for towns having their special festival, whatever it is. It's not usually, they don't usually think about it being in that particular part of June, but sometimes it is. Like Coal Miners Day, where I'm from, I think is always in, I'm pretty sure it's always in June, but I think it's earlier June. And it's
probably Loretta Lynn's birthday or something.
It's a time where people plan, all the class reunions are planned during that time, but a lot of family reunions are too.
Yeah. Well, in my college, I know the class reunions are like literally the weekend after graduation.
Oh.
And what it is it's always a group of 3 years together because it's college, so you weren't necessarily hanging out with people exactly in your year. And then they sort of rotate them.
But isn't that usually in May, like late May, or it's not?
Yeah. Well, or early June sometimes, depending on exactly when.
Okay.
There is a Neil Gaiman short story called October Was in the Chair, I think. No, or October Story. I don't know. Something about October. Anyway, it was a story that he was writing that he couldn't quite get it to work. And then he solved it somehow by putting a framing device around it in which all the months of the year get together once a month and sit around a fire and tell stories. And it was very interesting to see how he personified each month.
Sure.
And the stories were very clearly tied to, they were stories that happened in that month whenever they happened or sure. whatever. And it was funny, like September was a very sort of smarmy, pencil thin mustache guy who was very smug about, he told a lot of stories about wine and things. Cause he's like, most of the red grapes are harvested in my time and the bulk of the, and like April was really nuts. I think April was like straight up insane. Mm. December looked very much like sort of Santa to sure. a large group, big beard and stuff like that. But I found it interesting. How, because when you said June is the month of reunions or whatever, and I immediately was thinking of February is the cruelest month, and I'm like, it's weird how people decide the different emotions tied to different months.
Well, when I was growing up, June was supposed to be the most popular month for weddings.
Yeah, a June wedding. That's still a thing.
I think, though, Midsummer is so close to the 4th of July in this country that...
And that's the thing, Craig. You're a foreigner. You don't understand.
Most people are gearing up for the 4th of July that late in June.
In our country, our bonfire night is July 4th. And so that's our counter to Christmas.
It kind of is, yeah.
And it's a cookout.
Yeah.
And some fireworks. And a lot of drinking.
I mean, even though it's 13 days later. I mean, it's almost 2 weeks later. But.
Well, in the time of summer, in my growing up, summer was June, July, August.
Yeah, that's right.
And fall, September, October, November. And winter, December, January, February. And spring was March, April, May.
Which is correct.
And then one day, I pick up a Berenstain Bears book in a bookstore about the months of the year. And it says, winter is January, February, March. Spring is April, May, June. Summer is July, August, September. And winter is October, November, December. or in the fall, sorry, it was October, November, December. And I'm like, what? I mean, I was little, so it wasn't this way, but I was like, what bullshit is this? And then as I got older, I was like, that is far more accurate. Because 20 to 22 days worth of December are technically in fall. And 20 to 22 days of March are technically in spring.
Depends on how you reckon it, though, because, again, like in Shakespeare's day, the 21st was midsummer. It was called The 21st of December was midwinter.
Yes.
And the equinoxes were mid there.
In the society that the rest of us live in now, there is a general acceptance that the equinox and the solstice are when
things
the,
begin.
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense, though. How could that make any sense?
I don't know.
I mean, the 21st of December is, as they say, the darkest time of the year. That should be the depth of winter. That should be the middle. That shouldn't be the start.
Yeah, but if you were doing that, then it would be November, December, January would be winter.
That's exactly
right. And that's not how we do it either.
That's how they did it.
Yeah, but
that's why when February 1st
the
was
first version I gave you that you said was correct is not that version either. That is a third version.
That's right.
And
that's right, you're right.
Thanks to the joy of climate change, if you go by the weather of the seasons, that's not any of those.
No, the weather's closer
and the region changes. So it's all just a mess.
It is a mess.
It is. Well, and we're past time.
Okay, sorry.
So don't say anything interesting.
I won't. Well, I never say anything interesting anyway.
All right. Next week, you'll hear the second one we do next week. But for us, we'll do the one before this next week, and then the one that you'll hear, and then you won't hear it for 2 weeks. Follow the numbers. That'll probably be best.
The numbers
will probably tell you. You know, like counting. In the meantime, write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat @gmail.com. With your own thing, because otherwise it's all about Craig. And nobody wants that because he's a Ferner.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat @gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat @gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.